Matthew 26, been looking at this thought of hiding the truth. This will be message number 16. Jesus was buried and in the tomb, and Pilate wanted to make sure he stayed dead or stayed in there. Not only did Pilate want the body to stay in there and Jesus to stay in there, but the devil did. Jesus is the truth, and the devil does not want the truth to get out. I've said this about 15 other times. I just will say it 16. If the truth gets out, the devil's in trouble. If we ever get the truth, the devil's going to be in trouble in our lives. One of the reasons why we're so down and out, so defeated, is because we don't listen and apply the truth of Scripture. And the devil loves it that way. He does not want the truth to get out. And in Matthew 27, it says that Pilate said, "You secure the tomb, make it as secure as you can. Make sure he doesn't come out." Got news for you, it didn't work. And we've looked at several different things. I will not rehash them all. But we're looking now at the strategy of Satan, and how the devil tries to, through his words in our mind, defeat us. Looked at several different things, and I'm trying to deal with one of those now. We talk here about the effort of the devil of defeating, of using defeat. If you are saved, been saved long, you'll know one thing. There's times you don't do the right thing. There are times we are defeated. There are times we do the wrong thing. And the devil would love to get us to believe that since we have failed, that everything's over and the Lord will never restore us, never use us again, we'll never have joy again. But I got news for you. That is a lie. Peter, I suppose, failed as miserably as any other believer. And we're trying to look at that. Last time I looked at the fact of a simple reason. Why did Peter fail? He failed primarily because he was flawed. He was broken, and so are we. Let's read the verse again, verse 74. "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew." There are many verses in the Bible that talks about a failure. We can look at the prodigal son, of course, and Adam and Eve, and so many others, David. But I suppose there's more wrapped up in this one verse than any other I know of. The fact that one of the believers that had walked with the Lord openly cursed and swore that he did not even know him. And in that moment, that rooster let out and Peter realized how he had failed. And it says in verse 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Listen, and he went out and wept bitterly. I'm sure the devil told him that night, "Your ministry, your life for the Lord is over." How wrong he would have been had he listened to that, listen, lie of the devil. I looked at a simple reason that Peter failed. Notice this. Not only was the reason simple, but his service was hindered. I want to look at the sad result. He failed miserably, and we don't fall without a result. And the result of his falling and his failure was sad indeed. The first thing I see was his service was hindered. In verse 74, it says he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." I thought about this. What if Peter had come into that situation there, watching the Lord being questioned and, if you will, tried? If Peter had said to those all around him, "You see that man right there? He's real. You see that man in there being mistreated? That's not just a man. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He is God in flesh. You see, Peter should have been, instead of cursing, he should have been confessing the Lord. Instead of saying, I do not know him, he should have said, oh yes, I know him. He's my Savior. He saved me from a life of sin. I'm talking about the sad result of his failure. His service was hindered. Instead of witnessing, he's wallowing around like a little whipped puppy and hiding and lying and saying, I don't even know him. Could God not have used him mightily there had he not been not right? If he had been doing the right thing? I'm talking about his failure hindered his service for the Lord. I do know this, God couldn't use him in his state, but the devil sure could. And there are times that the devil can use us that the Lord can't. And when we fail the Lord, there's no way in the world he can use us. And I promise you, even though Peter got right, there's some in that crowd that night, they remembered Peter's denial. They always remember the bad thing. Nobody said, Peter's the one that walked on water. Peter's the one that said, thou art the Christ. No, they remembered. Even after Peter got right, there's some in that crowd remember and say, I remember when Peter failed. And when we fail, there's a sad result. It's not just that we're failing then, but in the future, there's going to be some people that don't forget it. That's one reason why we try to make sure, I hope, that we don't fail to begin with, because there's a sad result in failing. His service was hindered. God couldn't use him. Not only is the sad result of his service was hindered, but there's a sad result of his Savior was hurting. His Savior was hurting. In Luke 22, verse 61, it says, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I've already mentioned this. While Peter's denying him, he can see Jesus, and Jesus can look through that crowd, and he can see Peter. And I believe, according to the Scripture says, as soon as Peter denied him, Jesus looked right to him. I believe they saw each other eyeball to eyeball. I've already said it. I believe that Peter saw the hurt in Jesus' eyes when he denied him. So I say a sad result is not only his service was hindered, but his Savior was hurting. Peter realized it wasn't just a sin, but it was a sin against his Lord. And it hurt him. And as I mentioned, these two results, his service was hindered and his Savior was hurting. I believe those two things hurt Peter worse than anything else could have. For Peter was a man who wanted God to use him. And Peter was a man who wanted the Lord to be pleased with him. And now neither's happening. The sad result, but I want to move on because I got to get through with the message tonight of the Lord to help me. I'm talking about the devil will lie to us about defeat. He tries to use defeat to defeat us. He tries to use a past failure to defeat us now. A simple reason, a sad result, and here's my point for this evening, a supernatural restoration. I am so glad that Peter's denial is not the last thing we hear about him. I am so glad that Peter going out and weeping bitterly is not the last thing we hear about him. There's a supernatural restoration. In verse 75, Peter was remembering. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus when he said, you're going to deny me. Remember earlier when Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, I just want to tell you, boy, the devil has desired thee. Satan has desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. Peter had been warned. Jesus had warned him, but he had not taken it to heart. And we have been warned by the Bible that our flesh is real and sin is something that can overwhelm us if we're not careful. Peter remembered that night that Jesus had warned him about what's going to happen, but Peter had not applied God's grace to him because he failed miserably. He remembered when he failed. Why was he weeping? Because he knew he didn't have to. Jesus tried to warn him, but he didn't take heed. I promise you, anytime we fail, it's because we wanted to, because we let the grace of God that he provided go by the wayside, and we did not take the strength and the help that he offered. Peter was remembering. I'm talking about a supernatural restoration. He remembered, I didn't have to. Not only was Peter remembering, but Peter was remorseful. In verse 75 again, it says he went out and wept bitterly. I'm trying to get to what I really want to preach on. He was remorseful. I've said this already, the weep there means to sob or to wail. The bitterly means violently. He was literally weeping convulsively. He was shaking through and through. He was weeping uncontrollably. He was sobbing uncontrollably because he was broken about his sin. He was remorseful. I'm talking about how can we get victory, get help after we failed. First is remember you didn't have to. Secondly, be remorseful. And this is not something that's worked up. This is not something that we run to the altar because we got caught or because of the consequences, because now we're having to suffer because we failed. This kind of remorse was real. He was broken because he saw what he had done and how he had hurt the Lord and how God had been so good to him. And he thought, after all the Lord's done for me and I've treated him this way, it was more than just a man-produced sorrow. It was a God-produced sorrow. And only God can do that. That's the difference between real conviction and just being sorry we got caught. He remembered. He was remembering. He was remorseful. Peter not only was remembering and remorseful, but he was repentant. There's more to this sadness. There's more to this sorry than just sadness and sorrow. He repented. Remember what Jesus said when he said to Peter, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift you as wheat. But here's what he said. I have prayed for thee. And then he said something else. When thou art converted, then you help your brothers. Don't get afraid of that word converted. It just simply means to turn. It literally means to turn around. The same word is found in Luke 2:20, where it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. It means they went back the other way. They turned around and went the other way. The same word is found in John 21, verse 20, where it says, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He simply turned around. And that's the same word that Jesus used in Luke 22, verse 32, where he says, when thou art converted, when you have turned around. Doesn't mean he got saved again. It means he got right. But here's what he did. He turned around. I mean by that, he didn't just say, I'm sorry, listen to me, and do the same way again. Are you listening? He didn't just say, I'm sorry, and not change anything in his life. And this is one of the keys of him being one day what he became. He truly repented of his sin. One of our problems is we get sorry because we got caught. Or we're sorry because we don't have any joy anymore. Or we're sorry because we lack peace or because things don't go our way. We get sorry because of how we feel and what we lack. Instead of really repenting of something, we just say, Lord, help me. And we keep on doing the same thing, the same way with the same result. And that's why we don't get any help when we fail the Lord. Jesus said, you must repent, you must turn. And that's what Peter did. Peter was remembering. I'm talking about a supernatural restoration. How can a man that's made such a mess even talk to the Lord anymore, let alone walk with the Lord, let alone be used of the Lord. Is there any hope after failure? A supernatural restoration. Peter was remembering. He was remorseful. He was repentant. And then number four, Peter was restored. Now, Peter, the instant he confessed his sin, he was forgiven. The sin was gone. Hey, denying the Lord, yes. I don't know of anything worse you could do. Honestly, I don't know anything worse you could do than what Peter did. But the instant he confessed, the instant he repented, the Lord forgave him completely. His sin was gone. And I'm saying this for this reason. The devil will tell us that we have done so much, the Lord won't forgive us. I tell you what, here's the truth. There is not anything too much the Lord won't forgive. He will forgive whatever we do. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin. 1 John 1:9 covers no matter what we do. You can't fail bad enough to not be forgiven. And Peter was forgiven. I mean by that, he was restored into right fellowship with the Lord. But that's not what Peter wanted only. To be forgiven, yes. To be in right relationship with the Lord again, yes. But Peter's not satisfied with that. He wants God to use him. He wants God to use him. And that's what we're going to see this evening. Peter was remembering, and Peter was remorseful, and Peter was repentant, and Peter was restored. But listen, Peter was recruited. Later on in Mark 16, verse 7, after Jesus raises from the dead, he comes and he tells the disciples, or he tells them to go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Notice the message. It said, go and tell the disciples. But you make sure you tell Peter. Make sure you tell Peter he's invited too. The Lord wants him to come. The Lord wants Peter to know he is forgiven, he is restored, and he's being recruited to serve the Lord again. Talking about a supernatural restoration. There is no end to failure. Failure does not have to mean we can't be used again. Peter was recruited. Remember what Jesus said? After you've been converted, strengthen your brethren. I've got something I want you to do. Your ministry's not done. Your life's not over. I think about this. Peter enjoyed a sweet presence. Remember what Jesus said? You go tell the disciples and you make sure you tell Peter to come meet me. And what happened when they met Jesus in John 20, verse 19? It says the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. The disciples were scared to the death of the Jews. And Jesus came. Listen to me. The disciples were fearful. And Jesus came through the locked door and said, listen to me, peace unto you. Everything's all right. You may not feel it, you may not sense it, you may not see it, but I want to tell you, everything's all right. Listen, Peter experienced a sweet presence. I wonder how that must have felt to Peter that night when the Lord came and that was in Peter that he thought was dead forever got to stir it again. And that presence that he had enjoyed so often before his failure that he thought was gone for good, it starts stirring once again. And he enjoys God's presence and he enjoys God's touch and he's just glad Jesus is there. And the fellowship's restored and the closeness is restored. After we fail, the devil will tell you, you'll never have peace again. You'll never have joy again. You'll never feel the presence of the Lord again. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's what I'm talking about. Are you getting the message? The devil doesn't want the truth revealed. He doesn't want the truth to get out. The truth is God will forgive, but he also will restore. I know how Peter was recruited. Peter enjoyed a sweet presence after his failure. Peter experienced a supernatural power at Pentecost when the Lord sent the other comforter. The Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit filled those that were there, including Peter. And not only did Peter get a little bit of what was going on, he must have got a lot, because at Pentecost, he preached. Listen to me. Peter's preaching the first message after Pentecost. I'm telling you, he's not only restored, but he's recruited. The Lord said, even after failure, I want to use you. And Peter preached one message, and 3,000 souls got saved in one service. The same man who failed, the same man who denied the Lord, the man who cursed and said, I don't even know him. The devil will say, Peter, you're done. But the Lord said, no, Peter, I'm not done with you. There's a supernatural restoration. Peter was recruited. He enjoyed a sweet presence. He experienced a supernatural power. Listen to some of the things that happened to Peter after he failed, but after he got right. Acts 2:14, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, he's preaching again there at Pentecost, and God uses them. Acts 3:6, a man needs some physical help, and he's asking for money. And Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And he reached out, and the man was healed. The same man who failed, God is using mightily. In Acts 5:3, he's in Ananias' house. And Ananias, he says to Ananias, why have Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? The man who has failed, now God's using him to clean up the church. I'm talking about this man's restored. Acts 5:15, there's sick people in the streets, and they come and lay people out in the streets that just the shadow of Peter passing by would heal them. I'm talking about this man walking in power. I'm talking about he's recruited. He experienced a supernatural power. Later on, when everybody's quitting and people are discouraged and they're being persecuted and things are getting tough, and somebody says, don't you ever preach Jesus again. Don't you ever mention his name again. Here's what Peter said in Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than man. The last time Peter was confronted with standing up for the Lord, he failed miserably, but not this time. He says, I will die for my Lord, and he stood up. He says, we ought to obey God, not man. Something's happened to Peter. And I know one thing, his ministry wasn't over. Acts 9:40, Tabitha arise, and a dead girl rose from the dead, because Peter was there. And God used them. I'm talking about a supernatural restoration. Peter was recruited. He enjoyed a sweet presence. He experienced a supernatural power. He entered into a special position. Now, let me say this. I'm about done. There are things we can do, especially preachers, especially men who want to be deacons, that'll disqualify us. There are things that will disqualify a man for life as far as certain offices in the church. There's no doubt about that. The Bible's clear. But other than that, I see nothing that disqualifies a person from being used of the Lord. Remember what Jesus said? I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I got the keys. And Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to give them to you. Now, a landowner that had keys to all his household did not entrust those keys to any servant. It had to be a special servant that he trusted, and he would give that steward or that servant that he trusted, listen, that he could depend on to use the keys rightly. Those were the ones that the owner gave the keys to. And the owner of the universe gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter because he knew he could trust him. Even though Peter would fail, Jesus said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be used. The key is an authority. It opens up, and that's what we see Peter doing. He entered into a special position. And I mean by that, when the church was birthed, I believe at Pentecost, the New Testament church, the Lord could have used anybody on earth to preach and to lead and direct and oversee this new infant church, this newborn organism, this introduction to the New Testament system, this introduction into grace, the body of Christ. But he chose Peter, the one who had failed, the one who had cursed and denied that he even knew him. In other words, Peter was put into a special position in the church. Or he said in Acts 2, he preached, and God used him mightily. That's the birth of the church, I'm convinced. But then in Acts 10, when the gospel is clearly being opened up to the Gentiles, you see, this is a big deal. The Jews had always been just the Jews. But the Lord said, now I'm opening the gospel, not just to Jews, but to Gentiles. It was a big deal. We can't even comprehend how big it was. And guess who the Lord used to open up this door? Peter. Peter did. I'm talking about, here's this man who had failed, and God had put him to a special position in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ, and he's using him mightily. Later on in Acts 15, Jerusalem Council. There's a big discussion. No doubt this was going to come between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jews were talking about, well, how in the world do we handle these Gentiles that are getting saved? What in the world? What rules do they have? So they met together, Acts 15. It's called the Jerusalem Council. Guess who headed it up? I'm talking about, this is not just an average meeting. This isn't just a college prayer meeting. This is the big meeting. They need a big preacher. Guess what? Peter's the one God chose. I'm talking about the same man who failed, the same man who blundered, God is using mightily. Can I remind you, 1st and 2nd Peter, we have books in this Bible that God used Peter to write down. And it has helped millions upon millions upon millions of people since then. God used a man. And so I come to my conclusion. I know you're glad. Did Peter ever get over his failure? And my answer to my own question is this. I sure hope not. I hope he accepted the forgiveness, and he clearly did. I hope he realized he was restored, and he surely did. But I hope, and I think he didn't, I don't think he ever forgot his failure. Because he didn't want it to happen again. And there's two keys to this. Number one was Peter's repentance. He didn't just say, I'm sorry, and get back up and go down the same path again. He turned and went the other way. I mean by that, he turned away from his sin. And that's what we must do. When we fail, and we will, we must say, I'm sorry. We need to confess. We need to accept that forgiveness. But we need to change our ways to where we don't do it again. And that takes God's grace, by the way. But the key to Peter's restoration was repentance. And the key to Peter's recruiting was Pentecost. The Holy Spirit empowered him. He had a power now that he didn't have before. And that same power we have. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we get saved. We can be empowered by him if we'll surrender to him, believe and accept it, and walk by faith. I have beat this ball around every wall in this church building. But the bottom line is this. Peter failed miserably. miserably. But he did what was right to get right, and God forgave him, but then used him mightily. The Lord convicts us after we've sinned to get us right with him. But he convicts us also after we've sinned to where we won't do it again, to where we'll learn a lesson. Guess what? Peter died in Rome under Nero. Tradition tells us that they were going to crucify him, and he said, no, don't crucify me like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy of even dying as my Lord did. But he willingly took that martyrdom, and he died willing for the Lord. So you know what he did? He did exactly what he said he would do. In Luke 22, verse 32, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. But notice what Peter said, I will die for you. And he did. I don't know if you could have gotten any of this or not, but I'll tell you this, and I'm done. We will fail. We will fail. And I'm not talking about cursing and swearing that I didn't even know him. Your failure may be you just don't read that Bible every day like you ought to. Your failure may be the Lord's telling you to pray more and you're not. Your failure may be you don't love the church like you ought to, and it's almost a chore to come. It's not the church's fault. That's your fault. Now, we'll accept some responsibility for what happens when you get here, but you ought to pray earnestly all week. It'll be what you need, and you know what? It'll help you too. I don't know what your failure is. You may have got drunk last week. I hope not. But however we failed, it's not the end. Doesn't have to be. You can be forgiven. You can be restored. You can be recruited. Your best days may be after your worst failure. Stand together.